Rams fans, welcome into Rams Showcase. My name is Sheriff Joe Bags. Tonight, the playoff race, it's getting pretty juicy. Plus, the Rams head coach faces his former team, but just for the third time. And later, answering your fan case, so we've got some hefty ones in there. So stay tuned on the back end as we are answering those quesos. Before we hop into the beef here, make sure you follow the Rams Showcase on all your favorite social media. That would be at Rams Showcase, at Sheriff Joe Bags for myself as well. And, well, the holiday season, perfect time to snag yourself something as you've been buying things for everybody else. So head over to RamsShowcase.com and click under that merch tab and snag yourself a Ram Showcase t-shirt. It will be the most comfortable t-shirt that you own, and you absolutely want that. Let's go ahead and dive into it here. So, announced today, this is Wednesday as time of recording. In fairness, though, there is like only a couple minutes left of Wednesday. So it's basically yesterday was announced. The Super Bowl returning to SoFi Stadium, second time. SoFi Stadium will host a Super Bowl in the 2026 season. The Super Bowl, of course, will be played in 2027. But back at SoFi, the best place on earth. And, the Rams have won their Super Bowl there. So let's just go ahead and do that again. Let's just make sure that every time the Super Bowl is played at SoFi, nobody else gets to hold a trophy in our stadium. How does that sound? I did see, it does seem like some people took some Matthew Stafford comments about the Super Bowl going back to SoFi Stadium, as he is not planning on retiring anytime soon. But I will be completely honest with you. If Matthew Stafford is the Rams quarterback the 2026 season, I'll be surprised. That's all. That there's no other information there. I'll just be surprised. I don't think that he's looking at sticking around that long to see this season, the 2026 season. I do think he comes back at least next year, but let's call it what it is. I mean, he's at the end of his career. He's coming up on it. The amount of games that Matthew Stafford has left, it's lower than the 2026 season. I feel confident saying that. We'll see what happens, I guess. NFL also announced an extension of the International Series, first ever game to be played in Brazil, happening this next season. Obviously, we don't have the schedule or the teams or anything yet. But it is an addition, not taking away from any of the other international series games. So we'll see what happens as far as the teams go. But this one is really exciting to me. I think this is really cool to see other countries get football team or get football games and NFL games. And I realize that it takes a game away from America. You know what I mean? But I mean, it's cool. It's cool to see that other fans in other countries and stuff like that, because let's not pretend like the NFL isn't worldwide and it's got fans everywhere. So it's really cool for those people not to need to come all the way out here just to catch their team in a game. If they happen to be a fan out in Brazil, well, maybe their team will be coming to them. And that's very exciting. I just think, I guess from their perspective, if I was living in Brazil, maybe I was a big football fan, something like that. And, let's just say I'm a Rams fan in Brazil, and it's announced that the Rams are playing in Brazil. I would be losing my mind, and I would give all of the money I would give to get tickets to that game. So I'm pumped for them out there, to be completely real. I think that's really cool. The only thing that would drive me nuts is if it's a game that I'm planning on going to, i.e. the 100th meeting between the Rams and the Packers, supposed to be at SoFi Stadium next year, if that game was moved out to Brazil. Well, that would hurt my feelings, all right? Because, well, me and my buddy trying to get out there. We saw our teams play at Lambeau. Now it's time to go see our teams play at SoFi. We will be there next year, as long as it's not the Brazil game. Let's dive into a few transactions here. So the Rams did terminate kicker Mason Crosby from the practice squad. No press conference out of Mason Crosby. Also, no number announcement. Did make this move feel very realistic. And Haversick going to be handling the kicking duties until further notice. The Rams did place tight end Hunter Long and long snapper Alex Ward on IR. Corresponding with those moves, we have the Rams signing tight end Miller Forrestall to the practice squad. Expect him to be elevated, at least for this week. And also signing Carson Tinker to the active roster. He is a long snapper, going to be handling those duties. I also think that with Alex Ward going down, that's a lot of pressure to put on a rookie Ethan Evans getting a new kicker and a new long snapper in the same week. So I do think it actually is kind of helpful for Ethan Evans specifically to only have to deal with now just getting a new snapper. And then in some other news here, former Rams quarterback Sean Mannion does sign with the Seahawks practice squad. They love their former bummer Rams backups. Rest of the West, the standings here. In the NFC West, we have the 10-3 49ers sitting in first place. The Rams sitting behind them in second at 6-7, ahead of the Seattle Seahawks, also at 6-7, but the Rams brought out the brooms on them. And also the Arizona Cardinals sitting in last place in the NFC West with a 3-10 record. Your playoff race right now, it is juicy. The 49ers sitting that one seed at the moment with a 10-3 record. They beat the Seahawks last week. This week at the Arizona Cardinals, so probably we'll get a win there if I had to guess. Dallas Cowboys taking away the number two seed from, taking the lead of the division away from the Philadelphia Eagles with that win over the Eagles last week. This week, Dallas is in Buffalo. Number three seed right now is the Detroit Lions, who are kind of struggling right now with that loss over the against the Chicago Bears this last week. This week, they host the Denver Broncos, who are on a bit of a roll, that game being played on Saturday. Tampa Bay Buccaneers leading the South right now with a 6-7 record. They had that win over the Atlanta Falcons last week. This week, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are heading to Lambeau to take on the Packers. Your top wild card seed right now, surprise, surprise, the Philadelphia Eagles with a 10-3 record after that loss to the Dallas Cowboys. This week, Philadelphia is on the road in Seattle. The Minnesota Vikings crept away with a win over the Las Vegas Raiders to push their record to 7-6. That was a 3-0 game. Very, very riveting stuff. And this week on Saturday, they will be in Cincinnati. We do need the Minnesota Vikings as Rams fans to kind of fall apart. Speaking of falling apart, the Green Bay Packers with a 6-7 record. They did lose to the New York Giants and this week will host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That is your playoff seeding right now. Just outside in the eighth slot is your Los Angeles Rams with that 6-7 record. Of course, coming off of that loss to the Baltimore Ravens this week, hosting the Washington Commanders, which we will talk about here in just a moment. Right behind the Rams, the Seattle Seahawks, 6-7. They did lose to the Niners last week. This week, hosting the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football. And the Atlanta Falcons and New Orleans Saints sitting just behind that. The Atlanta Falcons lost to Tampa Bay. The Saints lost to, New Orleans. So that can't be right. They didn't lose to themselves, that's for sure. But this week, the Saints will be hosting the New York Giants, who are also sitting just behind them with a 5-8 record. Could be, I guess, in this conversation, but I'm not putting them in there yet. And the Atlanta Falcons, like I said, 10 right now. They are at the Carolina Panthers, so should be able to come away with a win there. And this race is super juicy. It's so exciting right now to see what might happen because the NFC playoff race is so snug and very, very competitive. Even though we're dealing with teams that are sitting like in the 500 range, it is extremely competitive. And we don't know what this playoff picture is going to look like, what these matchups are going to look like, because there's so much moving and shaking. It is so exciting, though. This is exactly what I love about the NFL, and that you have, you know, from the sixth seed, the Minnesota Vikings sitting at 7-6, all the way down to the 12th seed with the Giants sitting at a 5-8 record. I mean, that's two game difference between six different teams right there. So that is massive. That is absolutely awesome. And a lot of moving, a lot of shaking going down. And with the Rams, you know, taking on some opponents in these conversations. Of course, the Washington Commanders not really there. We'll talk about the game in a moment. And then the Saints after that will be the Rams' last home game of the year before hitting the road to take on the Giants and then the 49ers. So yeah, it's snug. It is awesome. I am here for all of it, which leads us into our game preview. We'll get into the Washington Commanders at the Los Angeles Rams after this quick break right here at Ram Showcase.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Los Angeles Rams with a 6-7 record hosting the Washington Commanders, sitting at 4-9 right now. This game kicks off at 1:05 p.m. That's Pacific time at SoFi Stadium, televised on CBS. If you would like to take a peek at the distribution map, I have posted that on at Sheriff Joe Bags on X. You can also check it out on the Rams Showcase Facebook page to put your eyeballs on that, or just check out 506 Sports. That's where I get those lists from. The game, like I said, kicking off at 1:05, which is super unfortunate. Just make them all 25, please, NFL. And in the booth, we get Tom McCarthy, James Lofton, and Jay Feely, and Tiffany Blackman will be on the sideline. Your ESPN national broadcast will feature Larry Kahn and Giovanni Bernard. Some notes on this game. So Washington, they've been giving up some massive points right now, and coming off of a bit of a stretch where they're kind of getting wrecked a little bit. So in the last two games, being outscored 90-25, that's against Dallas and Miami, which sounds like it's like, well, yeah, of course, it's Dallas and Miami. But let's go back one more week and add in the game against the New York Giants. And they have now been outscored 121-44 in their last three games. So that is not very good. Opposite side of that is the Rams putting up 30 plus over two of the top ranked defenses in the NFL. 1 and 2 in the Cleveland Browns and Baltimore Ravens, and the Rams putting up 30 plus on them, which is very good stuff. And three straight weeks of putting up 30 plus in general, of course, dating back to that game against the Arizona Cardinals. So 37, 36, and 31. All signs kind of indicate that the Rams could be putting up some pretty solid numbers in this matchup for sure, which is obviously super, super exciting. Good stuff there. And the Rams found themselves right in the thick of the playoff race. There's four games to go, lots of pressure, but on the Rams, of course, but also on the Packers and the Vikings out of the North to try to hold off the Rams. So the Packers, obviously with that loss against the New York Giants on Monday Night Football, that puts them in a really weird spot right now as, they've got some what feels like easy games coming up, but that was also what they were saying about the Giants. So that is a bit of a shakeup there. And then the Minnesota Vikings, dealing with a quarterback switch with four games to go in a playoff race, that's not what you want, especially when that quarterback switch is with a healthy quarterback. Josh Dobbs officially getting sidelined as Nick Mullins will be the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. We might remember Nick Mullins as, he's beaten the Rams, unfortunately, when he was a member of the 49ers, but we'll see what he's able to do for the Minnesota Vikings in this one, as, of course, like he had mentioned, they were at the Cincinnati Bengals. That game's on Saturday. So at least we'll know before we even hit game day what that game will look like. But of course, the Packers game is going to be on Sunday as well. So let's see here. Let's dive into the matchup here. So we'll take a look at the Rams offense against the Commanders defense. And in total yards, the Rams are 11th in the NFL, putting up about 164 a game. Commanders defense 29th in the NFL total yards, giving up almost 392 a game. Passing the football, the Rams are putting up about 235 a game. That is 12th in the NFL right now, going against the last ranked pass defense out of the Commanders. So definitely a spot where the Rams could take advantage there. And running the football, the Rams creeping up in this regard as they're about 115.5 a game. That is 12th in the NFL. So definitely higher than we've been talking about all year, going against the 18th ranked run defense in the Commanders, giving up almost 114 a game. So that feels about right as far as this game goes. Should be right in that range. And then points being scored, the Rams have crept into the top 10 with breaking 30 in the last three games, averaging 23 a game. That is 10th. And then the Commanders defense giving up over 30 a game. That is 32nd in the NFL. So definitely the chance to have a good offensive day, especially coming off of two straight games of putting up 30-plus points against some of the league's best defenses. Now we go against one of the league's worst defenses, and we're still healthy. And that's the biggest thing here. So the Rams offense in a position to test the limits of the SoFi Stadium scoreboards with an opponent that has had trouble keeping the scores down on their own side there. Puka Nacua, by the way, just going to toss this in here, that Puka Nacua, fifth in the NFL in receiving yards. That is so sick. We'll talk about his potential records that we're looking at in this record watch for Puka Nacua. We'll be talking about that here in a moment. But will McVay kind of outthink himself against a team that he should be able to defeat pretty easily? But it's his former team. It's also a new name, a new logo, a new owner. It's not the same team that Sean McVay had coached for. But back in his day, I guess. I don't. Can we say that yet about Sean McVay? Like back in the day when he was with Washington? Has it been long enough? I don't know yet. But the Rams offense, though, played really strong opponents the last few weeks and put up incredible numbers. So really hoping that carries over and that the Rams don't kind of like go into a game against a team that they should beat and kind of like go in a little bit soft, like we saw against the Bengals, the Steelers, the Cowboys, the Packers. You know what I mean? Like we've seen it before this season, but it does feel like this team right now is not that same team. So hopefully that does kind of hit the football field. Let's take a peek at the 3-2-C in this game. We're going to go ahead and start with wide receiver Cooper Kupp. So last week, it was probably the most Kupp we've seen Kupp all season so far. Obviously, he started, on IR, stuff like that. But with the massive emergence, obviously, of Puka Nacua and the clear-cut attention that he pulls from the defenses, plus a weaker defensive opponent this week, Kupp should be able to keep that strong numbers going with number 9. So hopefully we can see that keep on rolling. And Cooper Kupp, I feel like Cooper Kupp's in for a big day in this one. Next up, we're going to go with Davis Allen, the tight end, the rookie tight end out of Clemson. So Tyler Higbee very well could be making his return this week. He's been limited in practice up to this point as far as time of recording. But the way that Allen played last week should give fans some hope. If yet another rookie in this class can hit, dude, that's like, first of all, holy moly. That is absolutely incredible. But we got 4 more games to go, and let's see what Allen can do as part of a bit of a dual threat with now Big Rig. This could be fun to watch. It's unfortunate to see Hunter Long go down, but if Allen can do things like that, like we saw last week, then at least the on-field aspect of the Hunter Long injury shouldn't really be felt, and hopefully Davis Allen can kind of continue that. And hopefully, I'm hoping that last week was a bit of like a catalyst as far as like his confidence levels go. And obviously, like I said, I do expect Tyler Higbee to be back this week, but with the way that Davis Allen played last week, we should continue to see him on the field in a pretty regular rotation. That does feel real. And next up, we'll go with Kyren Williams. Williams has been having such an awesome season, despite having missed a good chunk of time as well, which is absolutely incredible. And in a game where Sean McVay could be really quick to get pass happy against the 32nd ranked pass defense, every touch that Kyren gets is a plus for the offense, obviously. And look for McVay to understand, though, that like December football, winning December football, includes a strong ground attack. And I know that we're at home, it's a SoFi Stadium, we're not really worried about like weather, obviously, and stuff like that. But to get that ground game going and kind of just command the game. No like pun on Commanders intended there, okay? But to just kind of just run the game yourself and kind of just like, okay, we're going to come in, we're going to win, have fun on your flight home. It's a long flight, have fun, you know? So just kind of get that out of the way and get that ground game rolling. And don't just rely on Matthew Stafford to have to get it done for you. Because he's done incredible. I mean, this last 3 weeks is one of Matthew Stafford's best stretches of his career. So, I mean, that's best 3 game stretches in his career as far as like the 10 touchdowns, 1 pick, stuff like that. He's playing really, really good football right now, but let's not push it. Let's not have to rely on him when we have such a weapon sitting behind him in Kyren Williams in the offense. And let's flip over to the other side here. We have the Commanders offense going against the Rams defense. The Commanders offense, top 10 unit right now, 366.5. That is what they're putting up a game. That is 10th in the NFL. Rams defense currently ranking 17th, right about middle of the pack, giving up about 355 a game. And passing the football, the Commanders, 11th in the league, 236.2. That is what they're putting up a game. Rams defense, 20th in against the pass. That is almost 227 a game. Running the football, the Commanders just a tick short of 100 a game. They are 23rd in the NFL, and the Rams defense, middle of the road, tied for 16th, giving up about 113. Commanders are putting up 20.1 points per game. That is 23rd in the NFL, while the Rams giving up 22.3. That is tied for 20th. Sam Howell, he's playing some good football. I mean, they have the 11th ranked offense right now as far as passing yards go, but he is 5th in the NFL in passing yards. But they have low rankings in the run game, so they have kind of been steering more towards like forcing Sam Howell to kind of command every again with the command. I'm gonna stop. That's the last one. All right, I gave myself two. That is all I'm allowed. But to kind of take charge of that that offense a little bit himself, and he's doing a fine job. But it's obviously not totally translating into dubs, which is obviously what you would want to see there. But the Rams offense, or defense. Definitely had some tackling issues last week against the Ravens, and if we know Raheem Morris at all, well, that's probably a bit of an emphasis this week, so look for some better finishes as we head into week 15 of the NFL season. Two Rams rookies, by the way, leading defensive rookies with sacks, Byron Young at 6 and Kobe Turner, 5.5. And by the way, the Rams record for sacks by a rookie is 6. Byron Young officially tied with Kevin Carter. Kobe Turner, just that half sack back. Michael Hoyt is dealing with a knee injury, but he should be ready to play if I had to guess right now. But I'm looking for Nick Hampton to get maybe a little bit more comfortable. He got his first significant action last week. And well, to put it lightly, he was getting kind of pushed around a bit. So hopefully we can kind of see him kind of start to wiggle into his own. But at the same time, it was one of those things where it's like, well, he hasn't really developed yet as far as like outside of practice and like in real life game action. He's been inactive a lot. So to see him out there was really cool. It was weird to see a 31, and I was kind of like, my very first instinct was like, who is that? But it was like, oh yeah, it's Nick Hampton. Like, but yeah, we'll see if he can kind of turn that around a little bit or like kind of get it rolling a little bit, because it just kind of seemed like maybe it was I don't know if he's like rusty or whatever it is. But if he is going to be out there with maybe Michael Hoyt being a little bit banged up, then hopefully we can kind of see that get rolling. 3-C on the defensive side here. We'll start with Akello Witherspoon. A good matchup this week going against Scary Terry. And Witherspoon, he's been such an incredible addition to this Rams defense. And this is, well, yet another perfect week to show off why this was such a great move by the Rams. So Akello Witherspoon definitely watching Fofo all day long, as you should, because he's very, very good at this game that we call football. It's very exciting to watch. Next up, we're going to go with Aaron Donald. We saw the perfect example of how Donald is still very much one of the top defenders in the NFL this last week, as a kind of a bit of a viral video of Aaron Donald getting triple blocked. And, well, that's kind of what you need to do. And you can't blame him, because, well, if you don't do that, Aaron Donald could wreck your day. And, please send him if you've got him, because I cannot recall a time where I've seen a TJ Watt, a Nick Bosa get that same treatment. And maybe it's out there. Maybe I just don't know. But if you have it, please let me see it, because I have not seen any of those guys get the triple block coverage as Aaron Donald gets, future Hall of Famer Aaron Donald. So I'm absolutely willing to admit that if I screw that up and they do get that same treatment, I'm absolutely willing to admit that, but I don't recall seeing it. And last in my 3-C here, we're going to go with Jordan Fuller. Some fans pretty down on Fuller right now from last week, and I do realize that some of those plays could have, maybe should have, gone a little bit better with Fuller in coverage, but I'm surprised at how many fans have kind of come out with the Jordan Fuller slander. We've all got those days where maybe we could have done a little bit better, and yeah, he's still a clear-cut leader of this defense, though, so I'm not, like, super concerned. But this is also, I mean, he was coming off of his best game of the entire season, and then he had what maybe people are calling his worst. I'm kind of hesitant to say that. I just watch it from different eyes. I've, like, you know what I mean? But dude, I really like Jordan Fuller. He's one of my favorite players of all time, so as far as Rams go. But look for Fuller to rebound this week against an opponent that we really shouldn't have any fourth-quarter stress with. Any given Sunday, yes, but if the Rams, they're better than the Commanders, all right? That doesn't guarantee a win, of course, but after last week, something tells me that this team kind of comes out on fire, so should be a good one for this Rams defense, and Jordan Fuller looking to see him rebound in a big way. Into the milestones here that we are kind of watching for, of course, Matthew Stafford. These milestones have kind of not gone the exactly how I thought they might this season, but that's A-okay, as he does need 1,880 passing yards to pass Eli Manning for 10th all-time in league history, 15 passing touchdowns to pass Eli Manning for 10th in league history, And Tyler Higbee, who should be back this week, needs just one reception to pass Jack Snow for 10th most in franchise history and needs 118 receiving yards to pass Harold Jackson for 14th in franchise history. Wide receiver Cooper Kupp did reach 4th all-time in Rams history in receiving touchdowns last week and does need 45 receptions to pass Henry Ellard for 3rd most in franchise history. And I have no intentions here of talking trash about any Rams fan. I say it all the time here. Any level of Rams fandom is okay with me. I say the same thing every time. I don't care if you can tell me Matthew Stafford's 3rd daughter's middle name or if you only know that her quarterback is number 9, all Rams fans are welcome. I will say, though, I was very surprised that I chose on purpose a little bit of an older photo of Cooper Kupp where he was wearing number 18, and the number of people who commented and said, "That's not Cooper Kupp," surprised me. That's all. That's all I'll say. It surprised me. And even though other comments were coming in of being like other people kind of coming in and be like, "Dude, that is Cooper Kupp. What are you talking about?" Still getting them as late as today of people being like, "Well, if you're going to say Cooper Kupp, then you should at least show Cooper Kupp." And it's like, I don't know why that's the voice I choose, but I kind of stand by it actually. And yeah, either way, I'm going to just use more updated photos now, just to kind of keep them current. To avoid any confusion, all right? I'm not trying to alienate any Rams fans out here. I'm not trying to make anybody get attacked in my comment section for not knowing that Cooper Kupp used to be number 18, okay? Because I also understand that my level of Rams fandom is not expected to be matched by the average person, okay? Because that's unrealistic and also unnecessary, all right? I'm in too deep. Save yourself, all right? I can't turn back, okay? Save yourself, all right? Anyway, moving on. Aaron Donald, he needs 3 tackles for loss to pass Julius Peppers for 3rd most NFL history. 3rd most in NFL history with just 3 more tackles for loss, passing Julius Peppers. Remember watching him play, that was really exciting. He needs 5 more sacks to move into the top 25 all-time in league history. He needs 1 forced fumble to pass Derek Brooks to be tied for 43rd most in league history in that stat. And needs just 1 solo tackle to pass Leonard Little, 11th most in Rams franchise history. Puka Nacua, he needs 361 receiving yards to pass Bill Grohman for most receiving yards by a rookie in league history. That record was set in 1960. He needs to average just 90.25 yards per game to, reach that number. He needs 23 receptions to pass Jaylen Waddle for most receptions by a rookie in league history. He does need to average just 5.75 receptions a game for the rest of the season to tie that mark. So very realistic that Puka Nacua, the Puka and Cooper is that trips me up all the time. But it's very realistic that Puka Nacua could be seeing right now the best season for a wide receiver in NFL history. It's just coming just a few years after we saw the single best season for a wide receiver in league history, with Cooper Kupp hitting the Triple Crown and the Super Bowl MVP in one season, something that has never been done. History of this matchup, the Washington Commanders do lead the all-time series 26-14-1, so we'll take a bit until the Rams would be able to even up that one. The most recent game between these two came on October 11th of 2020, which was such a fun year, and the Rams won that one 30-10. Since returning to Los Angeles, the Rams are 1-1 against Washington. This is the first ever matchup with the Rams versus the Commanders, so making some history here this weekend. Washington opened up their series against the Rams back in the day, winning the first 5 meetings. First ever coming on November 21st of 1937. That was a 16-7 victory by Washington. And the first ever Rams win came on December 16th of 1945. If that date sounds familiar to you, well, that was the NFL championship game, the Cleveland Rams defeating the Washington Redskins. There was one tie in this series that came on October 22nd of 1967. And, that was so long ago that my parents were only 3 months old. My parents are extremely close in age, by the way. 9 hours apart, which is so weird to me, but it's irrelevant to you for sure. But my parents only 3 months old the last time or when these two teams tied. And we'll take a look at the connections here in this matchup. So former Rams who are now on the Commanders, safety Terrell Burgess. He played for the Rams from 2020 to 2022. Cornelius Lucas played for the Rams in 2017. Senior offensive advisor and game management, Ken Zampese. Zampese, maybe? 2000 to 2002 with the Rams. And defensive line coach, and I know I'm going to screw this up because I always have screwed this up, Jeff Zagonina. I used to say Gonina because I thought the Z was silent, but it's Zagonina, something like that. But he played for the Rams, 97 and then 99 to 2000. Do you remember playing him in Madden? I used to user him sometimes, but yeah, good stuff there. And then Commanders, former Commanders on the Rams. So quarterback Carson Wentz, Rams backup. He was with the Commanders last season. Head coach Sean McVay in various roles. He was there from 2010 to 2016 before getting the head coaching job for the Rams. Defensive coordinator Raheem Morris. He was with the Commanders or Washington 2012 to 2014. Defensive backs coach Aubrey Pleasant from 2013 to 2016. Pass game specialist Jake Peets. He was offensive quality control back in 2014. And then actually wide receiver coach Eric Yarber, Yarbs, who is one of my favorite human beings in the entire Rams organization. I love Yarbs, but he was a player for Washington back at 86 and 87. No real cool NFL connections in this one. They kind of were getting real into the weeds with like backups and stuff like that. But going back to college, we'll go ahead and start with, Lucas Haversick making his first appearance on this list here. He did play at Arizona with Commanders defensive end Jalen Harris. Jordan Fuller played at Ohio State with wide receivers Terry McLaurin and Curtis Samuels. So that's a very good matchup there. Their top two receivers going against one of the top leaders of the Rams defense. Very exciting stuff. And safety Quentin Lake, who is expected to make his return this week, he did play at UCLA with wide receiver Kazmir Allen of the Commanders. So that is it. That is your game preview for the Rams taking on the Commanders. If I had to take any guesses here as far as like what I think will happen in this game, I do think it'll be a good day for the Rams, all right? And I'm not just trying to say that because I'm a Rams fan in wearing Rams stuff right now in front of a wall that's covered in Rams stuff on a show called Rams Showcase. I don't say that because of all of those factors. Although those are very real things. But I just do think that like the way that this Rams team's been on a roll, even coming off a loss, I know that's like kind of tripping people up and stuff, but like coming off of that loss, even this team feels really good right now. It feels like we're headed in the right direction right now. And the Washington Commanders, well, they're not great at the moment. So it does feel like a situation where the Rams could do really, really well. So, and we're also, I mean, looking at the line in this game, like if for you bettors out there, I know I didn't go over it earlier, I mean, the Rams right now sitting at -6.5. It did open at 7, so it did creep a little bit. -310 for the money line and over under 50.5, which I think that's going to be mostly Rams. I'll be completely honest. I like a 45-7 game, I think is not out of the cards. All right. Will it probably be closer than that? Yes, probably. But I do think this will be a game that the Rams do handle decently easily. All right, but of course, any given Sunday, you'd never know. You never know going into each game. And the Rams roster could be feeling like I feel and kind of go in soft and then get actually smoked. Like, you never know. That's an NFL team. Their players are paid too. You know what I mean? So you can obviously never kind of bank on a win for sure. But this game does feel like I think specifically my brain is going off of the Ravens game last week, the way that ended. I think that this team is going to be on fire. And I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that the Rams, based on that game and how that ended and how well they played against such a strong opponent and then lost that way, I don't think it's unreasonable to say that the Rams could win their next four games. Obviously, we got a lot of things to happen here where there's a lot of moving pieces and stuff like that in ending two road games against tough teams, against the Giants who are playing good football right now and against the 49ers who are obviously they're sitting right now with the number one seed in the NFC. So a lot of moving parts to go, but hey, it's very exciting stuff right now as we dive into the real thick of the playoff race as we dive in. So that is your game preview. Commanders, Rams, should be a good one this weekend for sure. On the other side of this break, we got our fan quesos, so don't go anywhere. All right, it's time to dive into our fan quesos. We are going to start on Facebook. If you would like to get your fan quesos heard, well, I make the post on Facebook on the Ram Showcase page. I also share that to my personal page, so you can just add me as a friend. You can ask it right there. You can also pop them into the YouTube channel under the community section, under the community tab. I do post it there as well. That's where Peo and Ram's House, they drop theirs. We also have some others that started hopping in on that forum, which is awesome. You can also message me at the Ram Showcase socials, at Ram Showcase, at Sheriff Joe Bagsworks as well. So get those quesos in, and then I will answer them on the following episode of Ram Showcase. So we'll go ahead and start on Facebook here. Now, this one coming from April. Will the Rams pick up a quarterback in the draft? Which is actually a great question, April, because I actually totally am on the trend that you should just grab a quarterback in every draft, no matter what. Whether you need a quarterback or not, you should spend like a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick on a quarterback. I think that every team should do that. Or like, I mean, obviously, if you need one higher up, take one higher up. But I don't think you should ever get through a draft class without taking a quarterback, because you never know. You never know who's going to hit at quarterback, because that is the most impossible position to do any kind of like genuine research where you can just like actually know if a guy is going to be good or not. And we see that with like obviously Tom Brady, 199 overall. You see Brock Purdy at the Mr. Irrelevant spot. And yeah, we have all of our opinions on stuff like that as well, about like, oh, well, if they would have been in a different system or whatever it is. But the success is there. And I think that just having like the guy with the right attitude, like a CJ Stroud, who was not number one overall this year. And I know that he was extremely high up there. What was he, two overall? But a team passed on him for somebody else. And I think that that's all the evidence you need. There's so many different examples that I could dive into. I think that every team should take a quarterback, because you really do never know what's going to hit. So yeah, I do think the Rams should take a quarterback, because right now it's Carson Wentz on our bench right now, which is terrifying. And I realize that there's fans that are like excited to see him play and stuff like that. I'm not, but that's only because we haven't seen him play like good football in like 4 or 5 years. So that's kind of where my reservations are at. Obviously, I'm interested to see what he could do with the Sean McVay offense, but I'm not itching to see it. I know that much. We've got, the Stetson Bennett situation, which we actually don't have any following information on the Stetson Bennett situation. Is he going to continue to be on this roster? Well, we just cannot answer that question right now. So it's unfortunate, but you know what? It's going to happen. And it's just something that we're dealing with right now. But I think that we should pick up a quarterback. You should always pick up a quarterback in every draft. That's kind of how I feel about that one. And next one here coming from Cody. Best game so far this year to watch Rams-wise? That's a tough question, man. This Ravens game, I know that we lost, but it was such a fun game to watch, man. I will say that much. The Browns, it just seemed like that game was probably the most complete game that the Rams have played all year, offense and defense, even though it was going against Joe Flacco. Before that, the Arizona Cardinals, it's always nice to just like go into Arizona and just kind of beat up on the Cards. That's always fun. Let's see here. I'm trying to think back to like early season. So we had like obviously that that game against the Colts with Puka Nacua's game winning catch in overtime. That was exciting to open the season against the Seahawks, man, with that big, big win, 30-13 in that one. So to start the season that way was absolutely incredible. So I think that I kind of bounce around, man. I don't know if I would say anyone in particular. But maybe it's this week, you know what I mean? Like, or maybe this game, like coming up against like the Giants against, their quarterback and this, the new young guy who's, getting talked about, the player of the week award and stuff like that. Well, I don't know why I'm blanking on his name, DeVito, Tommy DeVito, man. That's like, so that'll be a very exciting game. And, who knows what happens in, the final game against the 49ers. So, there's some good stuff to be had at the very least, but I don't know if I'd say that there's a so far, like, confidently a best game so far out of the Rams. Let's head over to the YouTube channel here. I'm just going to run down this list here. So let's see here. We'll go ahead and start with Peo Time, who says, what are your thoughts on Davis Allen after a great performance? Do you see him being tight end one after Higbee retires? So first of all, man, what do I think after Davis Allen's great performance? Dude, that guy is it's awesome. It was really cool to see. That was kind of what, like, in my brain, we were going to get from Davis Allen is like what we saw like in his highlights in, you know, college and stuff like that at Clemson. And then like in preseason and stuff like that, it was like, oh man, this guy could be actually pretty good. And this was like the first time where it's like, yeah, dude, this is what we thought he could maybe be, you know? So that's very exciting. And to think also, like I said earlier, that like if we have yet another rookie in this class hit, like that's not fair, dude. Like that's so sick. So yeah, man, if Davis Allen can keep it going, man, that's absolutely awesome. But your second part here is, do I see him being tight end one after Higbee retires? Well, Higbee's not even that old, man. He's only 30. So we actually might not even see where Davis Allen is. Like, we could still have Higbee for like another like 6-7 years. So like maybe, but I don't know yet. But only 30 years old for Tyler Higbee. And I feel like maybe because it does feel like he's been around a long time, in fairness. Like, I realize he's only 30. He was born in 1993, which it sounds maybe like it's a long time ago right now. But I was born in 91, so he's younger than I am, which will always feel young to me if you're younger than me. But, yeah, he's only 30. He came into the NFL the same draft as Jared Goff, so he never played for the St. Louis Rams. But, yeah, man, I don't know. I think we've got Higbee for enough time that I don't know if I'm really like putting my brain onto like who's gonna replace this guy yet, you know what I mean? So like that's where my brain's kind of starting to dive into with Rob Havenstein, especially now that, you know, he's starting to stack up a couple injuries and stuff like that. But he's also not that old, so I mean that's a kind of goes all over the place, man. I'm kind of like contradicting myself, you know. But yeah, I think that if Davis Allen can play like that, I mean, in fairness, it's been one game, so let's see it you know happen a few more times. But other than that, man, yeah, I mean, it was good to see. And again, like I said, if we have yet another rookie out of this class hit, that's just not fair to the rest of the NFL, man, which is so sick. Next one here from Payo Time. Do you think D-Rob is back with the Rams next season? Yeah, dude, DeMarcus Robinson, man, is so... I really like this dude. I think that he is pretty underrated and underutilized right now. It's unfortunate to see somebody like Tutu go down, but... the way that the D-Rob is able to kind of fill into that role, I think is very refreshing. That it doesn't really feel like there's like obviously there's different skill sets there. There's like Tutu's got like the burners and stuff like that, and DeMarcus Robinson. I mean, he's got great hands. I mean, he runs routes real strong. He tracks the ball really well. Not to say that Tutu can't do those things, but it's good to see that when Tutu does go down and Robinson needs to come in, like, I don't feel, like, nervous about that, which is always good, you know, when you have a backup come in and you're not, like, watching them, like, oh my gosh, what is this, like, Brett Rippon playing against the Packers, you know, like, where you're like, oh gosh, like, you know, or even, in fairness, like, sometimes where we've had some offensive linemen go down and you, like, the guy that's in there, you're just like, all right, let's just not... One play at a time, dude. One play at a time. Like, just don't screw this one up. Worry about the next one. Next one, you know. Yeah, I kind of hope so. I guess he's not that old. I actually don't know his age. He's new to us, man. He hasn't been a long timer quite yet. So, but I would like to see him stick around. I like this. This Rams wide receiver group is awesome, and that's what is really cool to see. And unfortunate for some guys because it's like, that's what made a Van Jefferson expendable, is that, you know, we had incredible players on this team. So there's that part as well. Rams House coming in. What would it be like sharing a room with me and Payo? So with Rams House and Payo, dude, okay, we have a text thread and we we light each other up all the time on just like random, like, all of a sudden there will be like a really long story of like something that happened or some kind of Rams thing. It's like, it is all Rams. That's what's crazy about that, man, is like, it's so rare that we dive into any other topic that's not the Rams. It's always like, oh man, that was crazy. Or like, you see this presser, or did you see this tweet, and like stuff like, and I absolutely love that. But like, you take that into a situation with all of us in the same room and but none of us would get anything done. We would just be talking Rams football for 24 hours a day, every single day. And it was just like, it would be terrible for anybody else. We would have a great time, but anybody else would probably hate it. But yeah, man, that'd be fun, dude. I don't know what else we would do though. Like, I think that there'd probably be some kind of activities, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm not a big video game guy, but, maybe, I don't know. I actually don't know if either of you are either, actually. I don't know. I'm not. So it's, maybe that's, but, we would definitely, we'd have the sickest podcast in the universe. I know that much. We'd have the top tier Rams content. There's this side of the Mississippi, which is the most important side of the Mississippi, actually. Next one here coming from Annette. Let's see here. Do you think the Rams can go as far as the Super Bowl this season? You know what? I mean, I'm hesitant to ever say that, but because you never know, obviously. But like, I mean, this team's getting hot at the right time, and I know we're coming off of a loss, and I know that loss specifically against the Baltimore Ravens has really thrown quite the wrench in the positivity cog that is the Rams fan base. And I feel very alone in my emotions right now, in the fact that based on that game, I still feel pretty good. I mean, that's one of the best defenses in the league, and the Rams hung 31 on them. And I know that there were some blown coverages and stuff like that, but I mean, OBJ said it himself. He was like, the bad news is I ran the wrong route, and the good news is I still scored on a 46-yard touchdown or whatever. So it's like, I mean, it just seemed a little unfortunate on some things. Like there was that first touchdown to Likely, you see him go in motion and then you see the ball snapped and you're like, there's nobody over there. Like, and it's like, come on, guys, you know. And it's like you see him running the route and then he takes off from the line. And you're just like, all right, he's wide open. And then of course the ball gets thrown and stuff like that. But I do think that this team could make the Super Bowl. I don't think that these NFC teams, like, the Lions are very beatable right now. The Eagles are very beatable right now. A division opponent in the Niners, obviously, that is something that the Rams could always do some damage on. I know that the history of the regular season and stuff like that, but I mean, I think that any team in the NFC right now, the Rams can match up with in a decent way. The Baltimore Ravens right now sitting at the number one seed, and in their house in an early kickoff on the East Coast, which the Rams always seem to struggle with, pushed them to overtime. And that's one of the best teams in the entire league right now. So I'm feeling good about this Rams team. And we got some winnable games coming up that we need to be able to win. And we'll talk about Super Bowl hopes and stuff like that when we can maybe get a little bit into the actual playoff picture. We talked about it earlier, and the Rams are sitting on the outside still and don't control their own destiny. We do need some help. And it's unfortunate that we see two teams ahead of us, like the Packers and the Vikings, that play each other and stuff like that. And it's like, it's a tough battle for sure. And also teams nipping at our heels, man. I mean, it's not like Tampa Bay is winning that division right now, but you got Atlanta and New Orleans sitting with the same record as the 6-7 right in there. So, I mean, step one is get to the playoffs. And that's kind of where I guess my brain is gone, is just get to the dance, dude, get to the dance, and then anything can happen. So, I do think, though, to answer your question just bluntly, is that I do think that this team is absolutely capable. This team can match up with anybody, and I think that we saw that this weekend. I mean, even in a loss, we saw that this team can play with anybody. And I mean, I don't want to make excuses or anything like that, but we can talk about that. It was a punt return for a touchdown, which is one of those plays where it's like, oh my gosh, I had Patrick Peterson versus the Cardinals way back in the day vibes with that, where it was like, oh my gosh, And then, we showed that we could play with them, even though there was certain flags not called on that, or you got to do a better job tackling, obviously, and stuff like that. So we can play with anybody in this league right now. Right now, today, the Rams are in the conversation with any team in the league right now, which is really good. I mean, health came in, and I said it all off season. I said it all at the beginning of the season, that the week one Rams and the week 18 Rams are going to be two completely different teams. I think we're already seeing that. We're already seeing that earlier in the season. You look at games, how against the Bengals, or that first one against the Niners, or you got the loss against the Eagles, or even the Steelers, that Cowboys and Packers stretch, stuff like that. I don't think that happens if those games are played today. So, I mean, who knows? Obviously, we can play the what if game until I'm blue in the face. But yeah, I do think that this team can play with anybody in this league right now. And so, yeah, absolutely. Peo, what is your most recent Rams merchandise purchase? Dude, great question. And I feel like this is a planted question, because it's actually kind of a full circle moment in my Rams fandom, is because last year I put out a video called "Two Rams Wide Receiver Tutu Atwell is a Bust." And my most recent purchase of Rams merchandise is a Tutu Atwell jersey. After seeing just his attitude towards this season, and the way he's kind of come in a little bit more, it just seems hungry. It seems more confident. I wanted to kind of to overcorrect a little bit, I guess. And yeah, I snagged his jersey, dude. So I got myself an Atwell jersey, and I was rocking it on Monday night. I went to the bar to watch the Packers game with my buddy, and yeah, I was rocking that, stuff like that. I wore it a couple weeks ago, I guess. But yeah, dude, that's my most recent Rams purchase as far as merchandise goes. A little full circle moment. Had to go show my support for a guy that I absolutely just destroyed with words. I was like, this guy is terrible. Get him out of here. And then, you know, he stuck around, and now I've changed my tune. So I wanted to put my money where my mouth is and snag his jersey to show that support there. Let's see here. Next one coming from Payo Time. If Sean McVay asked you to join the coaching staff, which position would you take? I said that like there was going to be follow-up. And why? Like, you know, which position would I take? Dude, that's a great question. When I played in high school, I played wide receiver. I don't think that, like, I'm not trying to be like, I played in high school and it was a pretty big deal. I could have gone pro, but I got hurt. You know, like, I'm not trying to be like that guy or anything, because I was definitely not that good. That's why I do a podcast now. And yeah, dude, I would say wide receiver would be in there for sure. But I always really liked the running back, just like the thought processes that go into being a running back. I always really respected that. And then also corner, which I think is the hardest position to play in football. I think, yeah, you have to react and stick on a guy who is one of the most athletic human beings on the planet. So it's like, how do you judge a corner based on his ability to, like, stick with an OBJ on the routes, or like a Cooper Kupp on the routes, where it's like, how are you supposed to do that? You know what I mean? Like, in like, what is that podcast called with the Kelce brothers? He said that, Jason Kelce said that. And he was like, I think that the hardest position to play in sports is cornerback. And then his comment made me laugh so hard, because he's like, cornerback is so hard, they don't even let white guys do it anymore. Which is so funny. I think there's one white guy in that plays corner in the NFL. I think he's a Bronco, but either way, that made me laugh really hard. I have so much respect for that position. A lot of my favorite players have been secondary players. Cortland Finnegan, Janoris Jenkins. Obviously there's Jordan Fuller in there right now, stuff like that. But I've also been like Josh Reynolds, Torrey Holt, Marshall Faulk. So I kind of go all over the place, man. But if I had to just like, if you called me right now, it was like, in 10 seconds, I need you to answer this, I would probably go running back. I was just really respect of the thought processes of that position specifically. Next one here from Rams House. What is one thing on your Rams Christmas wish list, merchandise wise? Do I need an updated Christmas sweater, actually? The one that I've got is still the old school blue and gold. It was when those, like, that style of the ugly NFL sweaters when they first released. What was that? Probably 2015, something like that. It was, the Rams were still in St. Louis. I remember that. Cause I bought it when I think Bradford, I think Bradford was a quarterback at the time. But I saw an ad for it and I bought it immediately. Like, that was like, I just purchased it like right then and there. So I do need another one of those. So that's on my wish list, or one of those giant hats, dude. Those are hilarious. I don't care what anybody says or anything. I love those. And I think they're so funny. And that is definitely up my alley of like obnoxiousness of, so just showing up with one of them big dumb hats, dude. That's yeah, I'm about that life. Let's see here. Who has surprised you the most this year in a good way? You can't say Puka. Dude, Puka hasn't surprised me. I wouldn't have said Puka anyway, dude. That dude's good at football, and I think we all knew that. I think that going into the season, he was one of those guys where it was like, I know we got him really late, and that not a lot of people are talking about him, but that kid's going to be good. There's the fantasy league that I'm in. I don't really get into fantasy too much, but it's the same league I've been in since high school, so I just kind of keep it going. Last year, or like, I guess it's every year, they kind of ask me every year, like, who's going to be the wide receiver this year that breaks out? And for some reason, I just nail that every time. And I'm not trying to brag or anything like that. I'm a little bit bragging, but like, so this year, like last year, it was George Pickens, and he, you know, he did well, but like, it maybe could have done better or whatever like that. But it was like, oh, okay. It's like, you know, he's very talented, obviously. And they asked me this year, it was like, who's the guy, man? Who's the receiver that's going to pop this year? And it was like, dude, Puka Nacua is incredible. Like, I said that, that was like preseason time. It's like, this kid's like, he's too good, man. Like, he's Cooper Kupp 2.0. He's just Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp in a body. Like, he's incredible. So yeah, I wouldn't have said Puka anyway. I say all that to say that. But to say who surprised me the most, I give you two, which would be Akello Witherspoon and Kevin Dotson for sure. Have absolutely surprised me in a big way. I didn't think that Kevin Dotson, that addition, was going to be high impact at all. I thought it was kind of be a depth spot that maybe he gets cut or something like that. And obviously he did incredible. So that's good news. Akello Witherspoon, I was very like, oh man, like I wanted to see these young guys. I'm so glad we have Akello Witherspoon though, because he is so sick. He is so sick. Christian Roseboom has really impressed me. I think he's done an awesome job. I'm trying to think of some others here. Tutu, for sure, dude. You got to throw Tutu in there. Yeah, absolutely. AJ Jackson has kind of had his waves, but I think that he's doing a much better job than he's getting credit for, especially at that left tackle spot. So no shortage, man, for sure. I would say that that any one of those guys is a really good answer there. Next one here is from MRP5150. Washington has given up 45 points in each of their last two games, and they have the worst pass defense in the league. Do we see McVay get too pass happy again, or has he finally realized Kyron Williams needs 20 to 25 carries per game? I don't know if he needs that many. Specifically, I think that the 15 to 20 range can work if the Rams, like, it's all just game dependent. It depends on the game and how the flow is going and stuff like that. It's hard to go into a game and say he needs to get this many touches and stuff like that, because obviously a lot of things can happen. But if McVay does get pass happy, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing this week. But it's also December football, and like I said earlier, like December football is a different animal entirely. So I think that Sean McVay knows that. I think he's a veteran enough as a head coach to know that when you get to December football, it's good to run the football. I don't know, man. I guess I'm not as concerned about the Washington defense is like, I was like, oh my gosh, we have to do this. Otherwise we're not going to be able to move the football. Like, I just feel pretty good that, like, no matter what the Rams do in this one, they should be able to kind of pick apart this defense, right? I realize week in, week out, any given Sunday, you know, that's why you play the game. Games aren't played on paper and all that stuff. But, like, let's call it what it is. The Rams are a better team than the Commanders. So it should go our way. It should go our way. I say should very deliberately there because, like, obviously, anything can happen. We lost to the Steelers earlier this year. Shouldn't have happened. We're better than the Steelers are. When we played the Bengals, we were way better than the Bengals. You know what I mean? So, like, it happens. We're definitely a better team than the Packers. We lost to them. Shouldn't have gotten totally smoked by the Cowboys. You get the point. You know what I mean? Washington, I don't know, man. I don't want to say I'm overlooking Washington because, A, that doesn't matter what I do. I don't have to prepare for Washington. I'm just going to go to the bar and drink beers anyway. So it doesn't really matter. I'm definitely like in my brain, I'm like, all right, so if we can win these next three, then going into San Fran, that should be it'll be tough, but we'll see where we're at, you know? So it's kind of where my brain's at. I trust that Sean McVay will know what to do though. Next one here from Rams House. What's more likely? AD never gets a touchdown in his career or the Rams win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years? What's more likely? Ooh, dude, that's tough. What's more likely is, I would say it's more likely that that AD never gets a touchdown in his career because we haven't tried. We haven't really like put him in a position to actually get a touchdown. I would say that to win the Super Bowl, we know how hard that is to do. We know that that is a tall task, and there is 31 other teams fighting and clawing for that same thing every single year. So Aaron Donald, though, like I said, we've been in positions where we're at the goal line and it would be so easy to put him out at running back and just let him slam it in there. Because who's tackling Aaron Donald? Nobody, dude. Can you imagine like a tush push play with Aaron Donald? That's just touchdowns, dude. That's all that is. That's 6 points right there every time. So I would say, though, because like I said, he's just not getting in that position. And I think it's going to be one of those like a Robert Quinn versus the Colts that 1 year where it's the four S's, the sack, strip, scoop and score kind of deal. You know what I mean? So I think that would be how Aaron Donald does get his touchdown. If he is able to knock that in. So we'll see what happens, man. And Super Bowl, man. I mean, dude, like I said, we know how hard that is. Last one here coming from Payo Time. Who on the Rams right now talks the most trash on the field? That's tough, dude. God, that's a hard question. Probably Donald, right? That feels real. I will say that there was a moment there where I can't even remember who was chirping. Because Ravens players were playing pretty dirty all game, but there was some guys chirping, and the way that Kevin Dotson just walked by and gave his shoulder right to that dude's chin, but just kept walking, didn't like make a big deal out of it. That made me laugh so hard, dude. Kevin Dotson was like, he just kind of like comes in there, and you could see he kind of gave it to him a little bit, like he wasn't just like walking, but it was so funny. But yeah, I'd probably say Donald talks most trash, but I feel like I'm cutting time here, man. I'm going long here, but yeah, thanks for your fan quesos. Definitely be sure to drop those every week as we got a few more games this season, and hopefully we get more than just these four left. And then next week, by the way, with Thursday Night Football, we will be pushing the Rams Showcase episode a little bit early. Trying to get that knocked out on Tuesday night, and so available and everything on Wednesday. So it gives a little bit of shelf life out there. Can't be putting it out day of the game, you know what I mean? So be on the lookout for that. This weekend, though, big one against the Commanders. Get back in the win column for the LA Rams after falling back down below 500 after reaching that mark. But we'll see what happens. This playoff fight, though, is very real. And, well, the Commanders are in the way of that. So let's get them the hell out of the way of that. Make sure you follow Ram Showcase and myself on all your favorite social media at Ram Showcase, at Sheriff Joe Bags, and be sure to hit up ramshowcase.com as well. That's where you snag your Ram Showcase t-shirts. They are awesome. And yeah, just click on that merch tab, ramshowcase.com. You can snag them right there. Perfect time as the holiday season is upon. So buy yourself a gift or give it to somebody else. That's cool too. Doesn't matter. Just get one. But that is going to do it for me. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Ram Showcase on Sports War Radio, the Fan Side Network, and Broad Street South. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you so much for listening, and go Rams.